Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who couldn't make it working in a contact lens carrying case facility. Because, gentlemen, it's not a game of matching. It's Patch and Switch.
The amount of engineering that goes into being able to hang on to those little tiny contact lenses inside of those cases.
Yeah.
I used to have ones that were like, actually like shaped like an eyeball that you would put the lens on top of and then they would close up and then screw on the bottom. Did you have those?
No. I don't wear contacts.
Is it a Canadian thing or something like that?
I don't wear contacts. I don't know.
It could work. Do you wear contacts at all?
I used to wear contacts many years ago, but not anymore.
Oh. Can you talk some more?
Can I talk some more?
Yeah.
He's got that gorgeous voice.
Oh, thank you. I hear that a lot.
That is nice. Hello.
Can you say traffic on the fives?
Hello.
Traffic on the fives.
Good morning, everybody. It's 9:01, 1 minute after 9 o'clock, 59 minutes to the top of the hour.
So in case you haven't
guessed, it's the morning zoo.
We actually have
right
some
here on
Patrick's
Ridge.
Some special guests to join us today. Mr. Scott Ledwig.
Hello. Glad to be here.
He's got the deep voice. And then Mr. Frederick.
Yeah.
With pork, my pork. Accent.
Yeah.
Well, you have to let him talk so we can hear his voice.
He doesn't talk.
I really want to hear my voice.
So yes, actually, we do want to hear your voice.
You need to do every single answer for all the questions in Swedish. You can't talk English.
Inga problem alls.
Family friendly. It is family friendly.
No swearing. Stop swearing. That could
wait
work
a minute.
As well.
Bjarne's like, what?
all I want to know is what aisle is that on?
What aisle?
What aisle in the IKEA? What do you say? Where is that at?
Welcome to the second floor. And talk to the woman in the reception, please.
Nice. Nice. Hey, man.
Whoa.
Show is here. We have guests. We have people in the chat room.
Somebody said, oh, no, Channel 9 is down.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. Quick, I'm going to hit thing called the internet. I'm just going to hit the page.
But I know who's in the chat room. I can say hello and good morning to Pierre Roman. Also, One Wise Geek Kowski has joined us. Vizio MVP. He's under a secret identity, though. Foul Temper has joined us. On-prem Cloud Guy. On-prem Cloud Guy?
Okay. I love that name.
That's a great tag. For some reason, Frederick's here. Bjarne's joined us, as has H-Jet.
You looking at that?
Oh, the service is unavailable.
Service is unavailable.
But if you go to patchandswitch.com, does it work?
Sorry.
Did it work?
Well, apparently Jerry can get there.
It's like the...
Can you explain this, please?
Come on.
Some of the files aren't being sent out by the Channel 9 server, like the CSS and JAS files.
But hit F5 a couple times. You'll see it goes back to says not available.
Yes.
See, this is the... popular this show has become.
Should I go?
We have crushed the Channel 9 metric.
Ladies and gentlemen, Channel 9 is down because of this program. Thank you all for tuning in.
Should I go talk to Golnaz?
I think she might want to know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, ping left and right all over the place. Do you want to go do that?
Can I finish saying good morning, everybody?
Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Big hello to H-Jit. H-Jit has joined us today. Ledwig's joined us. It's really early for him, too.
Yeah. How does he get in here?
I don't know.
You're not even getting a computer in front of you.
He's got a phone. Oh, he's got a phone.
They have these things called phones now.
It does work.
Browsers and internet. It's amazing.
Yeah. Are you getting pinged?
I am getting pinged by people.
Dude, you have to be on D&D.
We are looking into the traffic.
Oh, here we go.
Crushing.
Have you tried turning it on and off
again? On and off
again,
yes.
No, we had that problem earlier.
I think it's actually probably the Nairobi live stream that's going on. Might be bringing us down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I like to claim it's us, but we'll find out. So if the site is down, can people hear us? That's the question. We're just talking to nobody and pretend there's nobody there.
No, there's some people listening.
But can they hear? How do they hear us? Do they go to the livestream.com or something?
No, they probably go to patchandswitch.com.
But it does. Does that work?
Yeah.
See, I
look,
can't
I've got
there.
A thing. And look, I can see myself. Oh, and I hear myself.
The site is down. Can people hear us? It's so weird that we're able to do this right now. So. We'll keep on
going. It's like going back in time.
It is going back in time. It says it's working, but I don't know if it's working. Is it? Is she stressed out because we're giving her too much to work with, or what?
Golnaz just said, oh, my God. She's out there. They're contacting the people run the server.
If only there was a dedicated dev team behind the Channel 9 group that's able to go in and look into this.
Yes.
Sean Lowe says refreshing work for him. So if you're listening, refresh.
take a nice steamed moist towelette and just wipe your face off.
Have a refresh.
And you're all set.
HJIT says today's patch and switch show done entirely in chat and in silent mode.
You got it.
No.
We're gonna do a mime of
We're gonna do a podcast in silent mode.
Yes. Okay. No one can say anything for the next 30 minutes.
Vizio MVP says the audio is good.
Okay, we'll go.
I feel like my microphone's rather low.
Yeah, but I think you're good.
It's okay.
I think you're good. So you said hello to we started the show, we said our witticisms, we introduced our guests, and then you said hello to all the people in the chat room. So we're on track. And we had some kind of drama before 9:10. So perfect.
What are you trying to say?
Regular everyday show.
We had drama 8:02.
Regular everyday show.
What are you trying to say, guys?
We're gonna take away the. In fact, we're gonna make this public now.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who were not in the room when we started the program, we've actually last episode, you may recall, we gave audio engineer Jay Shock a raise from $1.380 because
correct.
Of all the work he was doing.
Oh, he was doing
the fantastic shots, the puppy shots.
He knows more about that TriCaster software than I think most people at TriCaster.
No, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm taking away his card.
What?
Yep. And we're reducing his wages. In fact, he's going to have to pay us for at least a couple of shows.
What for?
Because he's losing his IT Pro card. So the TriCaster was having a problem, right? And he went into Device Manager and didn't recognize that there were multiple devices that had the "I'm not working" sign.
So you just delete them and then have them reload the driver.
Well,
no, one of them needed to be activated. Then I got my panel back.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's at least a 2-year suspension.
2 years?
2 years.
Of his salary?
A cool shot.
Okay. Well, look at that high.
It looks a little odd to me.
I like that.
It's a little.
Can you make it like rotate and stuff like that?
I can rotate it.
What?
Yeah.
It's like. Ah! That's really weird.
See, I can rotate.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Still not helping.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Taking his IT Pro card away.
Maybe we'll do a couple of
yes, shows. Yes, Vizio MVP, my chair is now higher. They're going to take that higher chair away from me.
You got it.
You can
give me a raise.
We'll put the desk at a 3/4 height so he can't sit at it and he can't stand at it. And we'll take away his chair.
He's just going to kind of
he has to kind of crouch to use everything.
He's got to do squats, right?
My personal trainer will love you. Oh, good. Yeah. Power squats the whole hour.
Big hello to IT Prayer. Hey, thanks for finally following my DJ page. And Chuck Rocks Canada has joined us as well.
Are you cross-promoting?
No, he actually followed my DJ page and I've known Prayer for how many years? Anyway.
Mr. Peter Gray says, have fun during the show. He has a Active Directory re-architecture meeting all day, so he's going to miss the show again. Say hi to the gang. That's in our Slack chat room, if you want to join us in the Slack
chat room.
Chat room.
Is it a chat room?
The chat room.
chat on Slack. It's called chat. Copyright.
Yeah.
2017.
Just in case you wanted to have some kind of frivolity throughout the week when we don't have the show, you can just jump inside the Slack channel, and you might get answered by a bot or something.
Do we have a bot yet?
I think I was supposed to work on one, but I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we start the show?
Yeah, we should. I think we should.
Is Channel 9 working?
It's
I have no idea if it is. I have no idea.
It was working fine. I connected in, and it was fine.
It wasn't working for me, though. That's the problem.
Well, hit
F5. MSDN.com.
Just go to patchandswitch.com.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, it's there. It's back. I think, you know okay. what? I think Golnaz bounced the server.
She had somebody bounce the server.
You got it.
All she kept saying was, oh, no.
Hey, speaking of Golnaz, big public shout out. It's her birthday. So everybody say happy birthday to
everybody.
Her.
Happy birthday
Golnaz.
She's 21.
Yeah.
She
just is now legally allowed to drink.
She just turned 21, so congratulations on that.
Yes.
Naz, the ultimate producer, director, camera person extraordinaire.
Yep. Right.
And apparently owner of my IT card.
Yes. Yeah. She has temporarily revoked it.
I think she put it in the shredder.
She's working on it.
So let's start the show, which we start with From the Trenches, things that we're doing in our day jobs, our day programs, things that are going on. And since we have some fantastic guests.
We should let them go first, I think.
That's Pearl. We, for the first time, have multiple guests. Oh, no. We've done it one other time, haven't we? Did we have multiple guests? One other time,
I think.
Yes, we've had multiple guests a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
Well, in the server room studio,
we had it in the server room studio.
How can you fit four people around that table?
It was tough.
We figured it out.
Yeah. We figured it out.
Okay. Anyway,
I blanked that out this time. Frederick and I were actually in here in person.
Correct. So, From the trenches story, Mr. Ledwig, you're over here on my right. I'll start with you first.
Oh, not too much going on in the trenches with me, actually. I've been spending most of my time. I'm on vacation right now. But before I became.
That's how we got authorization, folks.
Yes.
Before you came on vacation, you were on a cruise.
I was on a cruise. I was on a cruise for 8 days, and then I did a little bit of work for the week. Mostly
easy
budgeting and things like that. No actual fun IT stuff, unfortunately.
Budgeting's not fun IT stuff?
Budgeting is not fun.
No.
Not fun.
Do you put in and submit for 14 times higher than what you're actually going to
get? No, no. I put in the actual amounts, and it kills us every year.
There's a problem. There's a problem. You're too honest.
Being a little sloppy.
Too honest. You're too honest.
The problem is we actually have to turn in our budget numbers to our university next week, but we don't get them approved by our dean until March. So it's kind of interesting.
That sounds like our budget.
We have to do our budget backwards.
Wow. Love that.
Yeah, we generally submit for multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars for the patch and switch program and get about $2.67.
Yeah,
but at least we get it in American, so we can.
And then this guy spends it all on robots for a conference that put us in the hole for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have left your credit card on the table.
Yeah, so that leaves it to Mr. Frederick.
Yeah,
what do you think? What have you been doing? Have you actually been working? And first of all, why are you even in this country?
At easy.
This point in time. No, I'm just wondering. I understand. Wow. I understand. Like just being able to come around, but like, yeah. what brings you to this side of the pond, yeah. my friend?
We've been doing basically, it's a customer engagement where we brought one of our important customers to Redmond to do a 2016 Spaces Direct Exchange install with DAGs across three data centers, so simulating three data centers with the. Replication and stuff, and we also have a private cloud. So
nice.
Shout out to the private cloud guys.
So nice,
doing it in those three data centers as well for a service provider. So it's been busy days and fun times.
Do you know you're simulating this inside three data centers?
Yeah.
Where are the data centers at?
The data centers
is it
all
are just
actually
down the hall in one of the racks.
Yeah, they are. In this building, actually, up on third floor.
Did you ever actually have to physically visit the machines during your process?
No, I saw them. I even tweeted out a photo of them.
Oh.
Since I'm kind of like this.
I know where you were. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you were actually in this building.
Yep. Yeah.
But up in the other wing.
Third floor, north wing.
They don't let us over there.
they don't let me in here either. So basically, the findings from that will be applied on the customer data centers in Sweden, Norway, and Finland initially.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah,
cool
very,
stuff.
Very cool, man. What would you say?
I had to turn up Frederick's mic.
No, that's all right. He's
Bjarne's like, could you turn up Frederick's mic? So I did. So hopefully that should be better, yeah?
Did
Bjarne, Jared's like, yeah.
Did Bjarne say turn off Frederick's mic?
No, probably.
Or turn it on?
I don't know. I turned it up so we could hear him.
So what sort of stuff were you working with that was the most interesting? If you had to pick one thing.
Yeah, the most interesting thing is a packaged automated solution that actually provides the classical Microsoft stack of servers, System Center, Azure Pack, and all that, fully installed under 4 hours on a two-node, no switch, Spaces Direct install,
yeah.
up to a 4-node, no switch, Spaces Direct install, or a 16-node Spaces, like a full stack.
That's like a consultant on a stick,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, okay. that will change
the world.
Seriously.
Yeah.
In a world where you can only have
to
run
and we work with the Cat Hybrid team here.
Yeah.
Tremendous support, really good guys, skilled up to the, yeah.
What team did you say?
The Cat. Cat hybrid team. Yeah.
So they're half dog, half cat?
Yeah, I think something like that. So sort of like a street crossing.
Okay.
but they were really, it's really interesting. The most interesting thing is actually being here is to be not the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, yeah?
So you're just blown away sometimes.
I feel like that every day.
So do I.
Yeah.
Going in the meetings I'm going into, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
It's like, yeah.
What service did you create?
My wife would probably think that I've never been so silent for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Because yeah, I really don't want to say anything. So they like realize that, oh, that guy doesn't know.
You try not to get exposed, yeah. You're saying. Try not to get exposed. That's awesome, man.
Somebody's been doing real IT work.
I know, eh?
Unlike us.
I feel bad.
Yeah?
I've been, what have I been doing work-wise this week?
I don't know. I never see you.
What is it that you do here?
I know, it's hard, eh?
Do you take the specifications from the customers and give them to the engineers?
Yeah, sort of. I do that at one point in time. I've still been dealing with a lot of stuff with regards to a certain database company, so...
We have a request for Frederick to do the rest of the show in Viking.
He could in Viking. Is that
yeah?
Yeah.
Is that where you just kind of go?
Yeah, you saw that. You saw that from the Stop Icelandic that. Football. Yeah,
that's freaking amazing.
Really, really cool.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Wireless Life asking where the puppy is.
Yeah, so puppy did not make it in today. She decided to sleep in. She has become much more demanding and very specific about what needs to happen in a certain order for her to be happy. And if not, she lets you know she's not happy. And so she's very upset because the routine was mixed up this last little while because my wife decided to drop the son off at school. And so there was no one for her to sit on while she drinks a coffee. I mean, the dog drinking the coffee.
Wow. I was going to say, that's starting him young, huh?
A really demanding dog.
So the dog is drinking the Timmies, too.
The dog likes the Timmies. It works really well. So she had to make do with me, and of course, I'm not as nice because I have to get up and down and do all sorts of stuff while things are going on. So, yeah, right. I had a puppy exemption today, I guess you would say. Plus, I'm also filming later today, so it's rather difficult to film if you have
No, it's not, because I've seen what happens when you bring the puppy into the studio.
Everyone stops.
Yes, exactly. We completely shut the studio down because everybody's like, no, puppy.
Yeah, it's fun.
So what is it that you do? No, I'm kidding. I know what you do. We do the same kind of thing. The difference is that my job, I'm about a year behind you in terms of, you know, the things that you're working on.
The
are
level
now
of
things
maturity
everybody's like,
for the services.
Oh, hey, we should be doing it. Yeah, it's funny. It's some of the things that my docs people tell me. I'm like, working that. Yep, uh-huh. I've heard that. Uh-huh.
So the one thing that I'm finding right now, I got a question to ask both of you guys. It's like, when you guys are working with Azure in any way, shape, or form, would you install the Azure CLI to go ahead and do it? Or would you use the PowerShell commandlets to be able to go off and manage it?
Depends.
Thanks, Wes.
What is this? Consultant hour or something like that?
Yeah.
No, the main reason I'm asking is because I've been working off a lot in the Linux space, and obviously Azure CLI is designed to be a cross-platform, works on anything, Macintosh, Linux box, Windows box, that sort of stuff. But primarily the users of Azure CLI are Linux folks that are using them. And then whenever we do documentation on the Windows side, primarily the documentation that we do on the Windows side is using PowerShell because it's native to Windows and it's PowerShell. But now that we have PowerShell for Linux and now that we have Azure CLI for Windows, I'm trying to fight the battle of, do we need to have the documentation also supported to work in examples that are in Azure CLI for the Windows folks and in PowerShell for the Linux folks?
Azure CLI actually makes a lot of sense when you're doing like the DevOps tools like Chef and Puppet and stuff.
Right, because they don't natively understand PowerShell.
Yeah, and it's a similar like set of commands. So it's easier for an IT pro to learn Azure CLI.
If they already know PowerShell, that's the problem. They've invested their career in the PowerShell route.
But if they haven't, if they're like me, I like a mouse. I like to use the mouse, right? So if you want to invest into a command line interface, the Azure CLI actually makes more sense because of the other tooling stuff.
But it's a narrow target. You're only going to be able to manage Azure with that.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to manage your Windows servers.
No. But just the configuration parts of it. So at least as I see it, the next step for the IT pro is to like elevate into that area to some extent, and then it makes sense.
I mean, I think you need to strengthen the muscle on both sides and maintain your PowerShell, learn PowerShell, obviously, and also Azure CLI. On-prem cloud was commenting on PowerShell for Linux. It's like, I kind of equate that as like, Do you tell the Linux person, no, to manage Azure, you got to install this PowerShell to be able to manage it. And then you can go off and use PowerShell on it?
No.
Or here's this native tooling you can go off and use. Take a look at. The same thing. Do you tell the Windows guy, no, actually, don't use that PowerShell you've been using for a while. Just go ahead and install a special tool. It's a separate install, separate download for Azure CLI to go off and do stuff.
I don't think it's an and or.
Yeah, I was going to say, why do you have one or the other? Right? It makes sense. If you have two tools, you should have documentation for two tools.
We tailor the documents for the Windows crowd to use the PowerShell stuff, and we don't even mention the Azure CLI. We tailor the documentation for the Linux people to use Azure CLI. We don't even mention the PowerShell.
You should mention it, I think.
Yeah.
I think you should actually have a link to it.
If you don't.
Then we're going to go back to the drop down boxes again. Inside documentation, they call switches.
Show the CLI, show the PowerShell.
Show me the CLI for this Linux documentation. Yeah. Show me the PowerShell version of this for the Linux documentation is one option that we can do.
Well, so long as we're maintaining two different...
So if you had $100 to invest, and you have to put that towards writers, you have to double the cost now because you're now writing the same thing that's all Azure CLI, and then have to invest in the time to get someone to write that in PowerShell, what do you do?
Call Jeffrey Snover.
Call Snover. Yeah.
Snover's going to tell you just to put it on PowerShell.
PowerShell is the de facto standard for managing. It's an engineering criteria that if you have a service, you have to make it manageable by PowerShell because it is the way that you manage with WMI.
Yeah.
With WMF, sorry. Windows Management Framework.
IT Prayer is saying do document both.
I did a trade show where I...
You guys aren't helping my argument.
for a Linux crowd, basically. What I told them is that it makes sense for a Linux admin also because they can manage Windows.
Yeah.
And Windows guys can manage Linux. So it makes sense for everybody to learn the PowerShell for
Linux. So just to clarify, like if the document in question is how to attach a disk to a Linux to a VM, we have the documentation written inside the Windows table of contents with Windows examples in Windows PowerShell.
Right.
And the OS that you're modifying and working with inside the guest VM is Windows.
Right.
We have the exact same documentation written in a slightly different style for Linux people.
Right.
It's a Linux VM that you're managing and a Linux commands to be able to go off to mount that disk.
Okay.
So why would I put in the same content for Linux using PowerShell as an example to manage it?
Well, so it comes down to opening up and expanding that man. Look, we created PowerShell for Linux for a reason. Now,
we ported PowerShell to Linux.
Okay, ported PowerShell, fine.
Yeah.
I would argue that in this case, why wouldn't you open it up for the PowerShell community to contribute?
We do. But it's documentation. Anyway, as you know, anyone can contribute.
Sure, absolutely. But so instead of, you let your PowerShell folks... Because I see where you're going. You're doing the Windows stuff for the Windows, and it's PowerShell.
Yeah.
Linux stuff for the Linux stuff is CLI.
Yeah.
And then just like using Azure CLI to manage Windows machines, have those folks contribute that stuff if they want to because it's not native. But I also get the other side of this. For me, if my customer wants it, I want to try to deliver it. Right. And so for me, it's like, I get it. We only have $100. So have to find how to make that $100 too.
There's the rub, my friend. I have yet to hear a single Windows administrator ask me for Azure CLI to how to do something. And I have yet to ever hear a Linux administrator say, gee, I wish I knew I could
do something. Then you keep going down the path that you're going down until you get that customer feedback.
Yeah. So
don't try to predict it.
Welcome to Rick Therapy.
On-prem cloud guy's got a really good idea. Document nothing, then everybody has to work it out.
Right on.
No, that's not. That's how we used to
pretty well with my KPIs right now. That worked pretty well.
No, I think what you have to do is you have to approach it as we're a data-driven business, and if you don't have the data to support your opinion, it's just an opinion, right? We have to focus on where our customers are.
This opinion is coming from a very high person.
I get it. Totally get it.
I don't have a choice. I totally understand that.
As somebody who works in the customer-focused side of engineering, I would say, as of right now, we don't have the demand for this, so we're going to focus our efforts where the customers need.
So here's your takeaway from today, folks. If you're a Windows administrator, go and do a search and download Azure CLI 2.0 to your machine and try it out. Tell me what you think.
We have action items for our audience?
You do.
When did this start?
Homework. Action item. I'll be doing a test in 2 weeks' time.
And nobody's going to respond to it.
Oh, hey. Big long tangent. Another thing that's kind of new that I've been helping work with has been, have you guys been to Azure Marketplace?
I have.
Have you been there in the last day?
No.
Go there right now. Okay. Type in Azure, in your favorite search engine.
Do you want me to do
that? Azure Marketplace. Go ahead. Bring it up on the screen there. And take a look at what this experience is like.
Okay.
It's amazing. Absolutely freaking amazing. So I was helping out in the background to be able to get some of the stuff.
I want to bring up a point that Per made going back.
Do what?
Real quick. Per makes a great comment.
You mean you have to look at the chat room? I guess that is.
He says, what's the point of having both? If there is budget to develop both tools, that budget should include documentation.
He's got a point.
Very true. Very true.
I understand. As somebody who deals with this and who deals with a writing team of less than half of a Jared, you know. So we get like 0.360 budget for some of our stuff. I get it.
Did you bring that up yet, man?
It's taking its time.
I think you had a problem with that laptop.
Sean Lowe says gonna grab it now, and he lists out some.
Oh, there you go. AKMS as install Azure CLI. Now here's the trick though. It's a matter of whether or not you're gonna be grabbing the Azure CLI 2.0 or 1.0. You want 2.0. It's coming out next week.
I don't see anything.
Wait a minute. So it's not there?
Oh, they got the preview. You can take a look.
Oh, okay. Preview.
Preview works.
I don't see anything different.
On Azure Marketplace?
Yeah.
Little tiles, stuff like that. Show me what it looks like on the screen. I can't see. Show it over, man.
Press the button.
Where is it? Press the button. Press that button. That's what we pay you for.
Hey, look.
No. That's the dashboard.
That's the dashboard. You need to go to Marketplace.
That's not the Marketplace.
What is it? What's the URL?
Go to bing.com, type in Azure space Marketplace, enter. I Bing that for you. Azure Marketplace. There you go. Perfect. Click on the ad. That's the ad.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
That's the Google AdWords.
It's Bing.
Bum, 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 bum. Ba-dum. There you go.
Yeah.
So, live filtering, little hover motions when you put your mouse over top of stuff. You click on one of them, choose that guy there as an example. Gives you the details, pretty cool what it is. Go up the top, take a look at pricing and plans. It actually allows you to go through and see the pricing on the spot, change the, is there advanced view or something like that? Or say that, yeah, say all virtual machines that are possible. And so the recommendations, and you can choose filters for what types of machines you want to have. Super sick stuff inside of this area. Very, very cool. And even we'll go through, and if the products like Barracuda Firewall or Checkpoint Firewall, stuff like that, they actually have these programs called test drives where you can sign in without an Azure account, and you can go off and actually try a sandbox environment
like
of that particular thing.
Like an F5 big IP ADC.
Yeah, so if you go to test drive, it just asks you for a Microsoft ID, like a MSA, and then you're able to go in and have a timed trial of 30 minutes or an hour or something like that. Pre-configured environment to try it out.
Really useful as well.
Rick, don't put my email up there. Very, very cool. So anyway, that's literally just launched like yesterday, I want to say. It's a huge improvement over what we had.
Not just cool, really useful as well. Yeah. Because lots of the questions that you get is... Yeah, within that space.
I think there's even a, when you choose one of those selections, it allows you to, when you do pricing plan, it actually will go through and you can say, download a CSV for modeling. So you can download like a spreadsheet and you can actually calculate, if I ran this for 24 hours, 7 days a week, and I took this down to a failover site and I only ran it for 12 hours and model this out, but they didn't want to change it from an F series to a C series or a G series. Cool stuff. Very neat.
Awesome.
Very, very cool. Congrats to the Marketplace team that put that together. I had nothing to do with it except help out a little bit.
So we rat holed for 20 minutes.
I know. I'm trying to extend. I don't know why. I was just.
Because that was only the first segment of the program.
I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work this week. It's been a busy week.
Well done.
Busy week, my friend.
Well done. I've done nothing.
Right on. See, I was taking it for the team because I knew you had nothing to share.
I had work.
I have stuff to share.
We have no time for you. I'm sorry.
How about beer money? I'm just waiting on that pull request to get approved. I'm just waiting for the pull request to get approved, and then I can talk about what I have. But anyway,
well, I'm still waiting for our Git discussion.
I know, right?
You haven't booked it yet.
I know.
You know, it's a free Git training with Rick.
I get it.
You wanted to have the patch and switch Git discussion.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
Let's talk about beer money. The support that we do for our friends, our family, dogs, cats, sisters, brother, uncle.
Do you do tech support while you're on a cruise?
No.
You don't help out the old gray hairs or the hipsters?
I can't get on the Wi-Fi.
No. There are people for that. There are paid to do that.
There are people for that. Talk to my people.
Do you call those people just to torment them when you're on a cruise?
No, actually, no.
You must get in a tech discussion somewhere.
The answer is it depends.
The cruise, no, it depends. Yes.
When you're sitting in your tux in the formal dining room, and pass the great poupon, because I just had a question for you about the Wi-Fi SSD that you're using. Very interesting. Why is it called Disney?
There's not that much tech on the cruise. And most of the folks are able to get on the Wi-Fi, you know, paid by the minute, as we discussed the other night, to your amazement. So, it's not that difficult. Most of them. They do classes, you know, how to do simple things in email for some folks.
I can be a freaking traitor on cruise ship.
They have classes where people come on and do how to get pictures off your tablet and things like that.
Or at least I want to know. When you're on the Lido deck, is Julie always on the Lido deck?
No. I've yet to see Julie, and you never see the captain as often as you saw Captain Steubing around.
Really?
No, he's
what
not.
What about Isaac?
You see
of course
of
you see Isaac.
But not
he's
Isaac.
A bartender.
They do show the Love Boat show on the TVs on the Princess cruise ship. So you get
really?
They show them throughout the day.
Boats.
We were watching the first one with Charo as April. That was always a classic episode.
Oh, yes. Wasn't Scott Baio in that episode as well?
Scott Baio, he was not, but I think that's one of Milton Berle.
Oh, yes.
That one, so yeah. That was another classic.
They're old.
Yeah. We're old.
They're old.
Yeah. Do you do support TV for friends and family?
Yeah, I normally do, but since I've been there for 2 weeks, I haven't been able to do that much of that.
Not even remote?
Not even remote.
You're not troubleshooting Skype quality issues? Are you trying to Skype with your kids?
It actually worked pretty well. Yeah.
Wow. You obviously weren't using Skype for business.
Yeah. No, I'm actually
easy.
Yeah.
Easy. You?
Actually, I ended up doing tech support for my my skip levels admin yesterday.
Really?
I heard her curse. You never hear her curse from the other side of the wall. And so she came over and she said, "I'm really sorry, but can you just help me out? You're gonna fix this in like 2 seconds compared to me trying to fix it." I'm like, "Okay, sure." I walk over. She has a very old Lenovo with one of those USB-based docking stations to split the split the monitor across two monitors. And she works off the two monitors, not off of her laptop when she works at her desk. And for some reason, the Microsoft IT guy was there fixing something else. And then she went off someplace. The machine did something. I don't know what. But basically, for some reason, the machine was modeling and showing her 8 monitors on her screens. As when you did the settings of the display settings, they're showing 8 monitors. Mm-hmm. And it's like this 4-year-old laptop that basically is just starting to go really flaky. And it literally took me probably close to half an hour to try to figure out which of the monitors were actually showing up and which ones were these ghost monitors, deleting them from the device manager and these would come back and stuff like that, disabling them from actually being used and then getting the right combination. Because whenever I'd pull up settings to check it again, all of a sudden the settings windows would show up on one of the ghost monitors, and I couldn't see it again. So I'd have to go and rejig stuff again. It was nuts trying to get that figured out. And then she actually asked a Windows hardware guy that she knew who was in the building to come on up and take a look at it. And he's like, "Wow, I've never seen that before." So something unique was going on. I think it had to do actually with the Intel graphics onboard chipset or something like that. It was really flaky. And so I think I finally convinced her that it's time for a new laptop. And then we had a big discussion on, they should go with the Surface Book, they should go with the Surface, she likes a full-size screen, go with another X1 Carbon, that's the standard one that we happen to use, that sort of stuff, and, you know, we'll see. She hasn't decided which way to go.
I'm having Surface Book envy because the majority of my team
is all being updated
to like, them, and I'm like, am I missing something?
I know, like, I was lucky to get this guy, which is good. It's got a couple dents on it, it's a 4, so it works, but I'm still craving having some GPU acceleration.
I'm sorry.
Do you have GPU acceleration on that one,
no,
too?
No, this is the first generation.
Oh, yeah. See, I want the GPU acceleration.
It doesn't count.
I didn't know this. It's got an asset tag on it.
I was stuck at the time. I could only get, there was only one SKU available, and it was the i7 with 16 gigs of RAM and
only
512 hard drive.
I'm sorry. That's so terrible.
I know.
It's horrible.
Here's the freaking violin for you, buddy, right there.
My admin was actually like trying to be apologetic. I'm like, buy.
Press the button.
Click buy.
Before they run out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely crazy. The That switcher thing was kind of weird for her to try to get that. I rebooted it. I did the power cycle of the box. I did the press down the power button to make it work, and nothing was going on. Nothing at all. It was absolutely crazy. So
new laptop for the admin.
Hopefully. Yeah. But then the problem is that she has all sorts of stuff on it, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so documents that are all here and there and everywhere, and software programs.
That's
stuff,
why you just put everything in my documents, and then
there's this thing called the cloud you can go off and use, right?
OneDrive.
We've got a IT thing that says it just syncs everything, so we're good. We're good. I've done nothing.
So let me recap for you, in case you're just joining us now.
Yep.
Joey doesn't actually do work.
Nope.
This week.
Nope.
From the trenches stories. Nope. And he also doesn't do work for friends and family at home either.
That's correct.
So apparently he's found this great job at Microsoft. Yep. Where he doesn't have to worry about doing work or something.
No, I've done work. I just can't talk about it. There's a difference. There's now a difference in doing it. Work versus what I could talk
now
about.
Now I got it.
And then beer money support, there really hasn't been any because we have entered phase two of the random spending project where we were working on redoing the Wi-Fis inside of the Snow household. And an executive decision was made to create a second network for the kids' devices and put restrictions on it.
Was there an incident that caused that?
No, it was just hey, we're going to do that. No, it was just kind of like we think we're
your
just
CFO.
CFO asked. Yeah, okay. CFO requested it. I went okay.
Do we have the proper isolation in place?
That is correct.
No. Okay, please initiate that.
I tell you. So the project that I worked on after the last program actually that weekend put up a Ubiquiti controller inside the Azures. There is, if you go out, there is a Microsoft MVP who's actually created an ARM template.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a one-click deploy as well that you can get to. I went and edited some things because I wanted some changes. Made some changes to the firewall because he's got everything basically closed, so it only works from one IP address.
Did you do a PR onto that?
No, I didn't.
You should have.
Contribute,
man.
Yeah.
Contribute back to the community.
I don't know that this was a community-based project. I think this was his personal. So I made some changes. I like to manage my devices from my phone and anywhere. So I opened up a port to any IP address. But all the rest of the stuff in terms of how it reports back and everything, restricted to the home IP.
All right.
Nice.
So super cool. Really easy to add a second SSID. I mean, it was just go in, create a new network and everything else. What I did learn, however, is when you block a device, it blocks it across everything. So there was a device that popped up because somebody guessed a password or somebody had heard the password being communicated around for the secondary Wi-Fi and popped one of their devices on it. And I went, no, and I blocked it. And all of a sudden, it's like the device comes back to me a couple of days later, and it's like, for some reason, this doesn't connect to the network. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And I kept trying it, kept putting in the password. I'm like, oh, yeah, I blocked that. Hang on. And then, of course, in the controller software, it hadn't seen the device in 4 or 5 days. So I had to go back into the history of the last 10 days to go find it. Oh, click unblock. But yeah, love it. Love having the controller in the cloud. Cloud Key is great. I just didn't want to spend the $70 because I've got some credits in the Azure space I can use. And if you got it, it's like, well, you know, because a lot of people are like, should I buy the controller? Should I put it in the cloud? Well, if you're going to put it in the cloud, you're going to pay a monthly charge.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that right now because I've got some credits. So, and it's running well within those credit limits.
Yeah.
What is it? I think I've got an A4 or an A1.
A1 or A0 because an A4 would burn up your credits.
Yeah, sorry, A1. Yeah, I don't know.
You're running a couple A8s, actually.
Yeah. Probably A1 or A0. And it's a Linux VM.
That's a G5. It's got a G5 running a Java app.
I do. It's not Java when it's in Linux.
I know.
But for a Java app, you'd need a G5 to run it properly.
To be performant. Yeah.
But I mean, I have to say, I'm super happy with it. It's super stable. One access point now that I've actually properly mounted it is covering the entire place. Though I will add a second one because it does get a little bit... The signal strength is not as good in the studio area. Not that I'm worried about it because the studio is hardwired. But I do have some other devices. It's like, just a little more power. Can I get just a little more power?
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend in the brewery area, that we would actually drop an access point to cover that area.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of IT in the brewery.
Yeah, I still, yeah, I haven't made that random spend purchase yet.
Yeah.
It's in my...
But I would actually suggest budgeting a second access point for you. I put one upstairs, if you can put one upstairs, and then drop one either downstairs by the closet or in the brewery area.
The plan is to put one down by the closet area,
yeah,
and then one upstairs in the top floor.
Yeah.
You've seen the layout of the house. I think that's a good breakdown.
Yeah. So anyway, big fan. The random spin was well worth it. I did get that switch. Did I tell you I got the switch? The 8-port PoE switch.
Yep. Yeah.
So now I got rid of the PoE ejectors. So those aren't just hanging down by the switch panel. So
I have the security gateway and the Wi-Fi access point just sitting at my house ready to install. I just haven't had time to do it.
You're finally going to get rid of that
Astaro
firewall that requires the DVD drive that I've never returned to you.
Yes.
So how are you going to set up your controller? Are you going to set one?
I want to do it in the cloud, so I was going
to
talk with you.
So you need to start right off with the cloud.
Yep.
If you can.
That was my plan, actually, was to do it in the cloud, and I was going to talk with you about
it. I did have some issues when I switched, because I did have an on-prem controller that I just threw in on machine.
Yeah.
It was a VM that was in the office. And for some reason, I had a hard time getting the cloud version to adopt. I had to do a manual. Mm-hmm. So you can actually SSH right into the security gateway, and you can tell it what the IP address is of the controller. And I had to do that to get it initially done. But once I did that, it found the AP and it found the switch. So it was good.
That's cool.
I'm trying to get hello to work.
Unfortunately, the
who are you?
The switch for me was backordered. So I'm waiting for the switch.
Wah, wah, wah.
It typically, because that switch is brand new.
Oh, so, I know.
Yeah.
But it's on order at Amazon.
But you can do it in the meantime. You just throw up one of the PoE injectors if you don't have the PoE. Right?
Yep. So. I thought about doing it while AZ Growler guy was in town, because a couple guys being able to pull wires wherever needed.
You running the Arubas in the schools, or are you running some other solution?
For wireless? Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
We're using Cisco.
Cisco gear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's our central IT handles all of that.
Yeah.
We used to be on Maru, and that was a nightmare. So
yeah,
they switched over to Cisco, and it's been good, mostly.
Yeah.
they don't cover the outside of campus. They only cover buildings.
Can anyone join?
We have a guest network, so if you're on campus, but it's terribly slow.
So if you want the real thing, you actually have to have an ID.
You have to have an ID. So you have to be faculty, staff, or student, or you need to know somebody who can request a guest account for you. So if you come by and you're in St. Louis, I can hook you up.
Right on. Don't give me the guest.
We get that super fast internet 2 bandwidth, so
nice.
It's all good.
We actually, you know what? I did do some. I was wrong. I did some beer money support.
Wow.
So last weekend, my kids on the dance team, and we hosted an invitational. It was actually 2 weekends ago. Hosted an invitation at the school, and we have a big projector in the cafeteria of the high school. So what we did is we connected a PC up, and then we stuck a phone in the gym at the very back on a tripod and connected it to power, and we just used Skype. So that people who are out in the cafeteria area, because you during the competitions, the doors are closed while the girls are dancing.
Right.
And they only open every 2 performances.
So if you miss it, in case you're stuck out there.
And people were just enamored by this. Like, how are they doing this? And we're like, it's Skype. It's
Skype on a phone.
It's Skype on phone. And then we just connected to the guest Wi-Fi at the school because nobody else is using it, right? You still have
But the projector is Wi-Fi as well?
And no, the projector has plugs in the wall, and you can just connect it.
Authorization to use that.
Yes. Yeah. We had access to the AV closet to drop the screen down and everything else like that.
But nice.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was really cool. I'm like, that's because I was talking to one of the other booster guys, and I'm like, yeah, we could use livestream.com and we could connect up a camera, webcam, maybe do a PC and do this. He's like, why don't we just use Skype? And I went, good point. But then, of course, the awesome treasurer of the Booster Club, which is my CFO as well, came up with the idea of monetizing it. Going, we could just put sponsor stuff up there, right? Could we put a sponsor thing on the screen?
Have a rotating banner sponsor next to the side.
I'm like, we could do that, absolutely. Yes, the PC that's running it, we can switch to a slideshow.
Yeah.
And she's like, we could sell that. We could sell that space, and we could raise more money for the team. I'm like, that's awesome.
Nice.
Looks like Windows PC guys finally showed up. He's in town, I believe. I believe he's made it to the shores of the U.S. He's talking about he's received notice that he might be able to get off his ADSL 2.0, 3 miles from the exchange, which might mean he gets above 2 meg.
Ooh.
That's dangerous speed.
It still doesn't matter because as soon as you leave the island of the country of Australia, he has to go through the tin cans and the string that you cross the other side.
But he is talking about redoing his internal network, and I could help out in recommendations of that.
Yeah.
I blame Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's the one who hooked me into this.
Well, for me, it was Cliff. It was Clint.
Well, yeah, Clint Rucka started it, but JK, Clint's a dev guy.
Actually, let's put this where the blame actually should lie. It's Troy Hunt.
Yes, that's true. His
Troy
blog.
Hunt. He was the one that actually brought this whole ubiquity into the sphere of IT geeks that is around there for doing stuff.
Now, why did you select that versus one of the mesh networks? Like Prayer mentioned, he did Google Wi-Fi, and that's what I did a few weeks ago. Is I put Google Wi-Fi in and. I mean, and I don't like Google.
I was about to say that.
That's why.
Very first reason is what you just said, the first word.
It's the cheapest of the mesh networks. It works fantastic. It was drop-dead simple, and I don't want to mess with it.
So for the price of me getting a new gateway or a new all-in-one device, I could get basically a fully controllable, essentially a pro solution that works in my house. So I'm in it $300, right? And they have...
I'm in double that for all the routers that I bought over the last while.
Right, but they have the ability to basically for a device to auto switch and that kind of they have a new access point that's coming out that does support that's the HD. It has all the mesh stuff as well. The main thing for me, I'm an IT guy at heart. I have to control it. I have to know what's there. I have a thing about certain privacy things. It's just me. I understand that most of my life is public. I get that, but there are certain things. It's just I want control over it, and I really liked the solution. I love the fact that I can pop open my phone.
There's websites on the dark net. He doesn't want you to know that he goes there.
Just because I have a Tor browser open during the show doesn't mean anything. But the thing is I love being able to just open up. This is the great thing. I can sit down on the couch. Pop open the thing and I can go in and I can look and I can see, oh, the kid's iPad is running a lot of data right now. They're streaming.
Right.
Kid, go to bed, right? Or make any modifications or changes to the network basically right here on my phone if necessary, which is how I did when I set up that new, I did it all on my phone here. And then I went back home and tested it because nobody was at home. I'm like, that's easy. Or I could actually access, you know, my PC through the PC. But, you know, I can just drop right up and, yeah, I know yours has it as well. Yeah.
I'm just curious. It was, for me, I do IT during the day, and when I go home, I'm kind of trying to get out of the mode of IT. Doing
but
IT.
But here's the fantastic thing. I spent maybe all of 10 minutes setting it up. I spent more time reviewing the ARM templates and making sure that the click once stuff doesn't put anything else in. And then I wanted to learn how to update the VM itself. So I learned how to just go in and make a Linux machine check for updates and to check for updates on the controller software. That I spent more time doing that than actually setting everything up because I did change the network that I'm on because I wanted it a little bit different than the standard 192, right? It's still a 192 network. I did change the DHCP, and I statically assigned IP addresses to two of my devices. That's all the work that I did on this thing, and it's great. I did add a couple of exceptions for the Xbox, which I haven't tested yet. I just did it as a, hey, just in case, but the Xbox was working. So, and I was able to connect to the Siege server, so I assume if I can connect to a Siege server, I should be pretty good. May not be able to host. We'll
see. We should test that tonight.
We should. It was just one of those things that I evaluated a lot of solutions. I was not happy with residential solutions, and I can get in at a pro solution, one that's really well-received and fantastic for the same price as one of these, you know, things with 19 antennas sticking out of it, everything else. So
that looks like they're collecting
dust in my closet right now.
Yeah. And the wife acceptance factor is very high. The devices are very...
Oh, that's the important part.
They look good. You can stick them under tables. You can, you know, or even if they're up on the walls, they just look like a smoke detector. I can turn the LED lights off on them so that you don't even see the light.
He's actually going to program them for his DJ show.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Pulse with the music when he's...
No, if they if it's another color other than blue, that means something's wrong.
Okay.
Or if it's flashing, that means something's wrong.
Someone's attacking my system.
It was just, it was a personal decision, just like anything else,
curious.
Right?
And I saw all the traffic about all these bits and pieces people were buying.
Yeah, what is the Google entry price? Is it?
I think I want to say it was $299 or $199.
Okay.
It's in that ballpark.
Yeah.
I know it's cheaper than the Eero or Aereo solution.
Right.
Eero.
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 You know,
yeah.
Huawei.
I think Huawei. Mark Morrow went with that one. Or did he go Aruba? I don't remember. We'll have to have him on and ask him.
No, he was in Aruba last week.
Yeah. It worked out really well. Like I said, it takes a lot for me to get over my anti-Google stance.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they had ever brought fiber, I would have given them all my data in a heartbeat. But
well, they never did, obviously. The minute somebody brings fiber and it's a different company than who I'm with, I'm going.
Gone. But for the Wi-Fi, it just seemed like a nice solution. And it's been great so far. I mean, it was drop-dead simple and... You know,
it's interesting. If Google Fiber came to my neighborhood, I would jump on it in a heartbeat, and then I'd run Pro XPN VPNs the whole time. Just there we go.
Yeah, and Press says, you know, too busy building stuff and a new kitchen table and stuff to be an IT guy at home. But I've invested probably maybe hour and a half of actual doing IT stuff. More time. Measuring and drilling holes and, you know, running and repunch. So I also use this as an opportunity to repunch down the central wiring closet too, right? Because it had some just dodgy things happening and I wanted to make it clean and look pretty and get shorter little patch cables to get everything tied in. And yeah, so just looked at multiple solutions and I went, this looks cool.
It's
geek factor too.
I've got a question.
Yep.
Frederick. What random spend are you bringing back to Sweden from North America?
Yeah.
What have you bought? Because you're leaving today.
Yeah.
To head back to Sweden. So what would you be bringing back? Your family.
A new wallet.
He just found his wallet after thinking it was lost all night. So
I actually went into the Disney store and bought a Kylo Ren lightsaber for my son.
They're watching right now.
But he doesn't speak that much English.
Okay, good.
So but he's gonna hear
Kylo Ren. Sure the word lightsaber.
Pretty much the same.
And I also bought like a hoodie so he can wear to school, but. The hood unfolds, so it creates the mask that Kylo Ren has as well. So I expect when I get home, when I'm making dinner for the family, I will hear them when he's about to charge me.
Yeah.
So, and then I have his, he's got another one as well, one of these Anakin Skywalker lightsabers, so I can have that.
To fend off the attack.
Yes.
So you just turn off the meatballs and then.
You guys eat meatballs there?
Yeah, we all. That's the only thing.
It's the only food group they have.
Lingonberries too.
Meatballs, lingonberries, and everything that comes out of a pig, basically.
Okay.
Love lingonberries.
Yeah. Lingonberries is delicious. It's fantastic. You can do some really amazing stuff with that.
So what about for your daughter and your wife?
Yeah, my daughter, she wants sneakers. So sneakers are like third of the price.
Yeah.
So I bought her some Air Max. And I actually was in the one of the stores on a video call with my wife so she could pick her clothes.
That was really interesting. See, that's a good use of technology, my friend. I never thought of that.
But she was really, oh, the colors are all wrong. And I was like, yeah, but I sent you a picture. Look at the picture. Yeah. Because, the colors on the video call doesn't turn out that well. And she was like, Are you snapping me off? And I was like, I'm in kind of a hurry.
Don't rush the CFO when she's making a choice on the clothing that you're going
to
get her.
Sean Lowe says, now I want to go to IKEA for supper. So do I. Go there for lunch. And IT Pair says, can you make beer and involve meatballs somehow?
Challenge accepted.
Swedish meatball infused, a Swedish meatball IPA.
We can easily get the lingonberry in there. That's easy.
Well, lingonberry.
Lingonberry, you're going to have
lingonberry Kolsch.
The problem is you're going to have to get them non-jam. You have to get them just as the berries.
Yeah, just the berries. Yeah.
You can't because the gelatinous component of that will screw up the proteins.
How about beer-infused meatballs?
Beer. That's easy. I make beer-infused meatballs.
And
now,
just as I said that, Vizio MVP popped it up in the chat.
You can actually do a pretty nice drink with lingonberry juice and hard liquor.
Vodka.
Vodka. Yeah.
The cure for all.
Vodka. Solves all problems.
In Sweden and Finland, it's called wolf's paw.
Wolf's paw?
Wolf's paw, yeah. Nice. But directly translated.
So what is Swedish? Vitas.
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 So that's wolf's paw. Like so that. Now you learn some Swedish as well.
Nice. I like that.
IKEA.
Yeah.
That's all the Swedish I know. It's all the Swedish I know.
Billy.
And Billy.
I know Billy.
Yeah.
Billy's.
And ja.
Ja.
Skål.
Yes.
Yeah. Skål. We are Vikings.
Nice.
There's talk about Microsoft not helping the Australian IT guys for Valentine's Day with Australia Ignite starting on the 14th. And then On-Prem Cloud guy says, Ignite IU was on my wedding anniversary, so he's 2 for 2 for great dates. Actually, You've been hit the worst for that. Yeah, yeah, I went years without being home for my anniversary because it was traditionally during TechEd.
Yeah.
And then with the partner conference, it's typically around my birthday. So I didn't see, like, I wasn't home for my birthday for years because I was doing all of those events. So, yeah. Let's make sure we start giving 3 WorkSafe words with 5 minutes left to go in the program. 3 WorkSafe words to go for next week's episode. Brief commentary on some beer talk. I know that there was some beer maintenance done last week.
Yes, Frederick helped me out doing some beer maintenance.
Oh, you went to the brewery.
Yeah. Yes, you got a chance to. We managed to do some filtration of and carbonation. Oh, crap.
Valentine IKEA meatballs
right now. My beer is going to be overcarbonated now. Crap. Ugh. My golden ale is going to be overcarbonated.
Oh, what do you have it at?
At 25 PSI for the last week.
Oh, jeez.
It's going to be foam. I'll make a new drink. Foam. That's it. I'll have to decarbonate some of that. We got that one there. And then also, we didn't. This weekend, we're going to do the beer maintenance on the Mexican chocolate stout that will be finished off being secondary.
We're actually brewing this weekend.
Oh, nice.
I have officially called a brew day.
Yeah.
Crap. I've got to go buy ingredients today because I'm not going to get away if I don't.
Get on it.
And we need to do a show for tomorrow.
We're going to do a
chocolate milk stout.
Yep.
But this is going to be a special chocolate milk stout in that it's a chocolate milk stout with chocolate.
So I can actually contribute something related to beer this time.
The tiki guy.
What?
Is talking about beer.
I brought beer from St. Louis for Rick to share. Or he doesn't have to share. It's up to him. But he said
Scott,
he was going to share.
Budweiser is not beer.
No.
Wow.
From some major local breweries, which, you know.
Yes.
But
yes.
They are
Budweiser.
Anymore.
Budweiser.
From Schlafly and Toucans, I think.
And one of them is a milkshake.
I forget which one it is.
What?
It's milkshake.
Chocolate milk.
Is it a stout or is it a porter? Okay, well, let's try this.
It's a can. One can.
One can?
Yep.
One can and one can only.
Yes.
For Tali.
Space it out.
So, also, even though he couldn't be here for the broadcast, AZ Growler or AZ Growler guy.
I think he's fictional.
Yes.
He's never been in this room to do this with us. Even when he came to the building, he had a con call. He had to go and take it in the other room. Well, he couldn't be here for the show.
His weekly team meeting is at 9 a.m. on Fridays.
Yeah. Do you know that he's really doing a meeting, though, or is he just telling you
he's
that?
He's just telling us that so he doesn't hurt our feelings.
The same way with you and your car.
Yeah.
IT Prayer asking, what are we drinking for the superb owl? Well, we were going to try to drink some golden ale, but apparently that's foam. We have a ton of stuff to sample.
Yes,
we have a lot of guest beers.
I brought 6 beers as well.
Yeah, Frederick brought some beer from Sweden.
Yeah, so we're gonna have a Sweden St. Louis smorgasbord.
Yeah,
and Arizona.
With meatballs. And Arizona. Because he brought 4 more.
Oh my lord!
However, 2 of the 6 packs are coffee Kolsch and Mr. Pineapple. So.
Okay, so that's good. We can work that out.
Yeah,
we'll work that out. Do we have our 3 words
yet? Mr. Pineapple.
Yes, we did.
Why?
Because it's good.
It's good.
I didn't like it.
I don't know. You don't like pineapple.
You don't like
pineapple? No, I do like pineapple. I drink vodka and pineapple all the time. I just didn't, I don't
add
know.
Add vodka to the beer pineapple.
Well, the problem with the beer is just that it was, it had a banana kind of, Yeah.
Anyway. See, yeah. As soon as there's banana in it, I think it's bad.
Yeah. See, I didn't taste any banana taste. It's a Hefeweizen with the pineapple-y taste in it.
Ah, got it.
Banana.
So the band's playing, which means we've come to the conclusion of another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch program. Big thank you to our in-studio guests, Frederick Bork Bork, and also our good friend Ledwig. Thanks for making the show, finally. You never show up in the chat room anymore.
I know, he's busy.
I know, I've been busy. I felt bad, so I thought I'd make it up by actually showing up. I planned this whole trip for this.
Always good to see you. Big hello. Big thank you to Wireless Life. On-prem cloud guy, thanks for tuning in. Windows PC guy. Hope to see you next week. Pierre Roman, Bjarne, Visio MVP guy, Kowski, Sean Lowe, Foul Temper, One Wise Geek, BMV222DK, Chuck Rocks Canada, Ledwig. Of course, I saw Jane around, so big thank you to Jane and everybody else who tuned in. Until then, till next time, in 2 weeks' time, have a weekend, everybody.